In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 14th day of the 5th month, the year 2015, and it's Ascension Day. Jesus Christ is truly ascended into heaven.
Hallelujah.
And don't let the apostate Jews or anyone else lie to you. Jesus Christ is truly ascended into heaven and took all the Old Testament elect with him on this wonderful, great day, this holy day of obligation we're celebrating. Today's lecture is going to be titled, The Messiah Will Come into the Second Temple. And this is meant to prove to the Jews that they missed the boat, that in their own prophecies from the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the Messiah indeed will come into the Second Temple, which everybody knows is an irrefutable fact, no longer exists. It fell in 70 AD. So when you listen to these prophecies, then hopefully the Jews are going to open up their eyes and God will lift up the veil of darkness that's over their heart and they can see. And a lot of Jews even knew that this was prophesied and were expecting the Messiah precisely when he did come. When Jesus Christ came. Now, we'll give you a little bit of history about the Second Temple. In 536 BC, Cyrus the Great decreed that the temple could be rebuilt. This is after the first temple was destroyed by the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, and they were taken into the Babylon captivity for 70 years. And after that, Jesus promised that they were prophesied, Jeremiah and a lot of other people prophesied that in 70 years forward, you're going to then be able to rebuild your temple again. So King Cyrus the Great of Persia, the Persian king, passed this decree in 536 BC that the temples could be rebuilt. So Jews then went back to Jerusalem and they started building the temple, the second temple. Then in 529 BC, King Cambyses II passed a decree to stop building the temple. So it was put on hold. Now, they're not really called kings. I call them a king, but I think they were called Artaxerxes or Ahasuerus, but they weren't really called kings, but they were the monarchical rulers. Now, so Cambyses II ordered the temple to stop being built. Then in 519 BC, Darius the Great, the next ruler, decreed that they can resume building the temple. So you can see the devil's in here trying to prevent that temple from being built, the second temple. So then the Jews in 519 BC began to rebuild the temple again. But then all of a sudden they were under great persecution from the Samaritans and the pagans surrounding them. They were persecuting them. They were fighting against them because they didn't want them to build the temple. So what they did is the Jews became timid. They became afraid. They became scared and they stopped building the temple. So what did God do? He sent them two prophets to inspire them and to prophesy to them and to get them going to start rebuilding the temple. And those two prophets were the holy prophet Agabus and the holy prophet Zacharias. And their job was to inspire the Jews to speak for God, to prophesy to them that get this temple going, start building it, don't be afraid, God will be with you, continue on with the rebuilding of the second temple. Now, at that time when the temple was being rebuilt, the governor was Zorobabel, son of Sathiel, and the high priest was called Jesus, the son of Josedek. And those are your secular ruler and your religious ruler of the Jews. And so these guys were inspired then to continue the building of the temple. It's interesting, too, because we're looking at the name of Jesus, the son of Josedek, and he was building the second temple for another Jesus who was going to come into the temple, and that's the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And also, this Messiah, as you're going to learn later on, that comes into the second temple, also destroys the second temple. Why? Because most of the Jews don't accept him. That's also prophesied too. Now, we're going to read about the prophet Agabus, a little history on him. Agabus was one of those that returned from the captivity of Babylon in the first year of the reign of King Cyrus. He was sent by the Lord in the second year of the reign of Darius, the son of Hystaspes, to exhort Zorobabel, the prince of Judah, and Jesus, the high priest, to the building of the temple, which they had begun but left off again through opposition of the Samaritans. In consequence of this exhortation, they proceeded in building and finished the temple. And the temple was finished in 515 BC, eventually, finally. And the prophet was commissioned by the Lord to assure them that this second temple should be more glorious than the former, because the Messiah should honor it with his presence, signifying withal how much the church of the New Testament should excel that of the Old Testament. And what happened too, because when the temple was completed, it was not near as glorious as the first one physically. When they looked at the physical structure of it, they said, this is not as glorious as the first one. But the prophet says, no, but indeed it shall be more glorious than the first one, because God, the Messiah, is going to come into this temple. And you're going to learn that even Zechariah says, not only does the Messiah come into this temple, but God, the Messiah is going to be God. and God comes into the temple. You're going to read about all this in these few little verses from these two holy prophets. Now, first we're going to read about Agius. And in his prophecy, he's telling them that the Messiah is going to come into this second temple that you are building. This is part of his inspiring them to continue on with the building. It's in Agius chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and verses 14 we're going to read first. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Agius the prophet, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Jesus, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, "This people saith, the time is not yet come for building the house of the Lord." And the word of the Lord came by the hand of Agius the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you to dwell in sealed houses, and this house lie desolate?" He says, you're living in your own homes, but you will not continue on with building the temple. And what God was doing, I don't include in here, is he was cursing them. They had like a mini famine. They weren't getting big crops. They weren't getting a lot of water. They were really suffering a lot because God says, I held back the rain. I held back your food. I held back your wine. I held back your water. I held back the production of your flocks because you stopped building my temple. And that's how God was punishing them. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Jesus, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the rest of the people, that they went in and did the work of the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now, we read from Agius chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, and the fourth and 20th day of the month, in the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king, they began. And in the seventh month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Agius the prophet, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Jesus, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the rest of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in its first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in comparison to that as nothing in your eyes?" So it wasn't really much as beautiful as the first temple. "Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and take courage. O Jesus, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and take courage. O you people of the land, saith the Lord of hosts, and perform. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. The word that I covenanted with you when you came out of the land of Egypt, and my spirit shall be in the midst of you, fear not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet one little while, and I will move the heaven and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will move all nations, and the desired of all nations shall come," the Messiah. I will move heaven. He's coming from heaven too. A little hint there. I'll move the heavens. "The desired of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with a glory, with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." I will fill this house, this second temple, with the Messiah. And he's moving heaven, he's coming from heaven, and he's coming into this second temple. "Great shall be the glory of this last house, more than the first, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." It's going to be more glorious because the Messiah comes into it. Now, the holy prophet Zacharias is at the same time prophesying along with the holy prophet Agius, and he tells us a little more about this Messiah who's going to come into the second temple, the Messiah. He also tells us he's going to be God also. We read from a Catholic commentary, "Zacharias began to prophesy in the same year as Agius and upon the same occasion to exhort them to continue to rebuild the temple and to speak for God." We read in Zacharias chapter 1, verse 7 and verses 14 to 16. "In the fourth and 20th day of the 11th month, which is called Sabbath, and the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zacharias, the son of Barachias, the son of Addo, the prophet. And the angel that spoke in me said to me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and Zion with a great zeal. I will return to Jerusalem in mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and the building line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem." And we read in chapter 2, verses 5 and verses 10 to 13, "And I will be to it, saith the Lord, a wall of fire round about it, and I will be in glory in the midst thereof." He says he, God himself, is going to be in the midst of it, in the glory of it, in the midst thereof. "Sing praises and rejoice, O daughter of Sion, for behold, I come. I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." Now God's going to dwell in this second temple. The Messiah is going to come into the second temple. And God, and the Messiah is God. That's what he's prophesying here. God's telling him, I'm going to come into this temple. "For behold," this is God speaking, "I come. I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And Agius said the Messiah is going to come to this temple. This proves that Jesus Christ is not only a man, but he's also God, God and man, coming into the second temple. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, the prophecy of the conversion of the Gentile nations. And they shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee. I will dwell in the midst of thee. God Almighty says, I will be amongst you, Jesus Christ. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to thee, and the Lord shall possess Judah, his portion in sanctified land, and he shall yet choose Jerusalem. Let all flesh be silent at the presence of the Lord, for he has risen up out of his holy habitation and came into the second temple, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He's also God. And he converts many nations in that day. After Jesus Christ came and preached, and the apostles went out and preached, they started to convert the nations. There you go. The Messiah comes into the second temple, and he's also God into the second temple. Now, Malachias, the prophet also, the holy prophet Malachias also prophesizes this. We're going to read about the holy prophet Malachias. And this is a Catholic commentary on this, on Malachias. He says, the Messiah who is God will come into the second temple. Malachias, whose name signifies the angel of the Lord, was contemporary with Nehemias. This was years later when they now started to build the walls. The temple was already built, but they were not building the walls. So they were still being slack and they didn't complete the whole building of the walls, although the temple was done. This is under Nehemias, when Nehemias was the ruler there. Nehemias was the governor, and he was made the governor by the Persian king. Anyway, Malachias, whose name signifies the angel of the Lord, was contemporary with Nehemias. He was the last of the prophets in the order of time and flourished about 400 years before Christ. He foretells the coming of Christ, the reprobation of the Jews and their sacrifices, and the calling of the Gentiles, who shall offer up to God in every place an acceptable sacrifice. He also clearly speaks of the twofold coming of Christ, preceded by the Baptist and by the two witnesses. Now, we read about this in Malachias 3:1. Here's the verse where he says, behold, I send my angel, and he shall prepare the way before my face. And presently the Lord whom you speak, and the angel of the testament whom you desire, shall come to his temple. Behold, he cometh, say the Lord of hosts. So he's now that was John the Baptist too, who was the messenger of our Lord. And he's saying, and presently the Lord whom you seek, now he's talking about the Lord whom you seek, whom you desire, shall come to his temple. Come to his temple. God shall come to his temple. God Almighty is going to live in his temple amongst the Jews. There it is. The Messiah comes into the temple, and he's also God. Again, Malachias, behold, I send my angel. That angel was John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before my face. And presently the Lord, whom you seek, whom you desire, shall come to his temple. There again, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, comes into the second temple, and he's God Almighty also. Now, when was the first time that the Messiah came into the temple? It was when, during the presentation, 40 days after Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of the Blessed Virgin Mary, with St. Joseph as his foster father, they went, according to the Jewish law, into the temple to present the holy infant Jesus, and they also went with the sacrifices that they had to offer up, and also it was the days in which Mary's purification was fulfilled. But the biggest thing here is that this is the first time that the Messiah, that the prophecy is being fulfilled, when the Messiah and God shall come into the second temple and make it glorious. This is the first time it happened. It was on the presentation. And we read about this in Luke 2:22-34. And after the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they carried him to Jerusalem, the holy infant Jesus, to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male opening the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, as it is written in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was in him, and he had received an answer from the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen Christ the Lord. Now, this goes, all the Jews knew that the Messiah was coming soon. They all knew it. Here's a holy Jew, a good Jew, that he was so holy that God even gave him a special revelation that before you die, you're going to see the Messiah. And here he is present when the Messiah is coming into the temple for the first time, the holy prophet Simeon. And he says, And he received an answer from the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also took into his arms and blessed God and said, now thou dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word and peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles to convert all nations, and the glory of thy people Israel. And his father and mother were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and a sign which shall be contradicted. There it is. That's the first fulfillment of the prophecies of Agabus, Zacharias, and Malachias. The Messiah came into the second temple, and he's Almighty God also, is what they also prophesize. And Jesus Christ, when he starts his public ministry, starts giving hints to the people that he's also God. In John 8:58, Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was made, I am. And in John 10:30, he says, I and the Father are one. And in Matthew 12:8, he says, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath, and only God is the Lord of the Sabbath. That's almost an explicit teaching there, where he's telling them he's God. And then he gave the Jews a hint, a little riddle, proving that the Messiah is both God and man. And this is recorded in Matthew 22:42-45. Saying, what think you of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say to him, David's. He saith to them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And there's a riddle. He's David's Lord because he's God Almighty from all eternity, always existed as God, and he's David's son because he was born of the Virgin Mary as a man from the line of David. So there Jesus clearly is saying the Messiah is God and he's also a man. And there's many other passages in the scriptures where Jesus hints at and even explicitly says that he's also God Almighty. And then they're required to believe that after he rose from the dead, that they then had to believe that he was God under pain of heresy or you couldn't be saved. Now also the holy prophet Zacharias prophesies that the Messiah is to come into Jerusalem riding upon an ass. All right? That's in Zacharias 9:9, where we read, and this was Palm Day. He's referring to Palm Day, which was 5 days before Jesus Christ was crucified and was offered up as a sacrifice for the remission of sins. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king will come to thee, the just and Savior. He is poor and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Again, Zacharias saying this, he's the Messiah. He comes into the second temple and he's going to be riding on an ass coming into Jerusalem. The Messiah, your king, the Savior. All right, now here's the fulfillment of Zacharias' prophecy 9:9, as recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 to 14, when Jesus indeed rode into Jerusalem upon an ass. This is the last record we have of the Messiah coming into the second temple. This is the last record of it. After that, then he was crucified. And they killed him. They murdered him, the Jews. But we're going to read about the fulfillment of the Zacharias 9:9 prophecy and Jesus entering the temple, and that's when he turned over the tables and whipped the money changers out of the temple. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem and were come to Bethage unto Mount Olivet, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go ye into the village that is over against you, and immediately you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man shall say anything to you, say ye that the Lord hath need of them, and forthwith he will let them go. And now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Zacharias, saying, tell ye, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh to thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of her that is used to the yoke. And the disciples going did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the ass and the colt, and laid their garments upon them, and made him sit thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut boughs from the trees and strewed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, the whole city was moved, saying, who is this? And the people said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God. Again, the Messiah goes into the second temple. He was in there many times before that, too. This is just the last recorded time. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the chairs of them that sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And there came to him the blind and the lame in the temple, and he healed them. And what happened was, sadly, here it is prophesied that the Messiah is going to come into the second temple. He's also going to be God. He's going to redeem his people. He came to first to save the Jews and then to save the Gentiles. And most of his own people, the Jews, most of them rejected him. They say only 10% of the Jews believed in Jesus Christ. And because they rejected their Messiah, there's a fulfillment of another prophecy that the second temple is going to be also destroyed. That's prophesied in Daniel. We read in Daniel 9:26, and after 62 weeks, Christ shall be slain, crucified, and the people that shall deny him shall not be his. The unbelieving Jews are not his spiritual children. And the people with their leader, Vespasian and Titus and the pagan Romans that shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be waste, and after the end of the war, the appointed desolation. In that prophecy of Daniel, which begins in verse 21 and ends at verse 27, we call it the 70 weeks prophecy. It prophesizes the exact moment when Christ was baptized by St. John the Baptist in the Jordan, and it speaks about how Jesus Christ will finish transgressions, he will end sin, he will abolish iniquity, he will bring everlasting justice. He will fulfill vision and prophecy. He will be called the Holy of Holies and thus is God. He will get anointed and thus is a man under the law. He will be called Christ the Prince and hence is the King of Kings. He will be slain. He will be denied by unfaithful Jews. His death by evil Jews causes the destruction of the second temple. He will be slain 3.5 years into his public ministry, and he will end the old covenant sacrifices. You can read in detail about this in my book, Daniel's 70-week prophecy, The Person of the Prophecy. And there are other prophecies about the destruction of the second temple by the prophet Isaiah and several other prophets.
Jesus Christ himself said, oh, I did not want to destroy the second temple. I wanted to come in here and be accepted by you so that you can flourish and never have to be destroyed. But because they rejected Jesus Christ, the majority of the Jews, Jesus Christ himself then speaks about how that second temple is going to be destroyed. We read about that in Matthew 24, 1-2. And Jesus, being come out of the temple, went away, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And he answering said to them, do you see all these things? Amen, I say to you, there shall not be left here a stone upon stone that shall not be destroyed, referring to the temple. And then he says in Matthew 23, 37-38, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent after thee, how often would I have gathered together thy children, as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and thou wouldest not. Behold, your house shall be left to you desolate and destroyed. And that was fulfilled in 70 AD, when God used the pagan Romans to destroy the second temple by order of the emperor Vespasian, and he had his son Titus, who was the one who was the general in the army, go down there and destroy the second temple. Why? Because the Jews missed the boat. They missed their Messiah. They, in spite of all the prophecies that were in their face, that he's going to come into the second temple, that he's going to be God Almighty, that he's going to redeem them, they missed that boat. And because of that, the prophecies were fulfilled. And this is not just Jesus saying, it's in the Old Testament that the second temple is going to be destroyed, and it fell. And where is it down to today? In the dust, gone. You missed the boat. But as long as you're alive, to all the Jews I'm speaking to right now, you have hope. You can still accept him. You can back up and forget about this Antichrist you're looking forward to and go back to the time of the Second Temple and look what was going on back there and believe in Jesus Christ as your Messiah, because he's still your Messiah. He's Almighty God and he still loves you and he still wants to convert you, and he prophesied that some of you will convert. So I'm preaching for you to open up your eyes. Take the wax and the cement out of your ears. We pray for God to lift the veil off your heart so you can see that you missed the boat. But if you're alive, you still have hope. You can go back. You can look at the prophecies and accept Jesus Christ. And Jesus even went on to say that in here. He said, and you shall not see me until you say, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, until you accept your Messiah, who you down till today are denying. So that's our special prayer for the Jews especially, because it's their prophecies that they have, and for all other people out there who have some respect for the Bible that can read these things, or even Gentiles that can read these prophecies and see how they were fulfilled, so that they too can come to the Catholic Church. And the last reminders I tell the people many times, as I speak to the Jews and all you unbelievers and you non-Catholics, he's the Catholic God. He's the Catholic Jesus. He's not the Protestant Jesus. He's not the Russian Orthodox Schismatic Jesus. He's the Catholic God. And he's not the Renaissance Church God nor the Vatican II so-called Catholic God. They are phonies. They are imposters. They are apostate antipopes. If you've been listening to my sermons, you know you have to go back what was taught by the church from the time of the apostles for the first 1,000 years. Anything deviates after that is out. You can read A Great Apostasy. Look at my lectures on that to see that information. So we pray especially for the conversions of the Jews in particular, that they can go back and look at their prophecies with a true heart and get rid of all their lying ways and to start becoming honest. And I end this lecture with the Catholic dogma on the Most Holy Trinity, to remind the Jews out there and even the Muslims that accuse us of being idolaters for worshiping more than one God. We only worship one God. The dogma of the Holy Trinity says that there's one God and three divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And even though each divine person is God, there nevertheless is still only one God and three divine persons. So do not accuse us of being an idolater. There was even references in the Old Testament where Jesus Christ was hinting at it, that he does exist as Almighty God exists as three divine persons. And Jesus Christ is the second divine person of the Holy Trinity, Almighty God, from all eternity, always existed, and then was made man in the womb of the Virgin Mary.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.